what do you think, Carl? Why is it that the church has such a terrible record of offering restoration to people?
I think you covered it. I really think you covered it in many respects, Josh. You thought this thing through, and you're right. You said something that kind of clicked with me. The world, the non-Christian world, they don't understand who Jesus is.
That's right.
They don't get it. They don't understand it. Here's the thing. They think they know. They think they know who they've rejected. They think they know what they've rejected. And this is a lesson I took back with me after going to Burning Man the first time. Because we talked to so many people at the burn when we set up our sign, Camp of the Unknown God, and that became an Acts 17 model.
I think that's so cool that you guys did that. That's an amazing thing. You got to tell that story. Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
but you know, Josh, that was a test. When we did it, when Robert Worley and I did it in 2017, that was a test. If we are living in an enchanted, paganized culture, whether people know it, recognize it or not, if we are living in that, then there has to be a biblical response, a biblical model. And the Acts 17 model is really it. It's Paul going to a completely pagan society, finding the leverage points, and in that case, a monument to the unknown God, and then using that to launch into the message of Jesus Christ, the character of God, the nature of man, and Jesus Christ resurrected. And so we basically said, okay, let's try that at Burning Man. And really right up to the first week before the 2017 burn, we weren't really sure how we were going to do it. And it was a lady in my church who came to me and she said, you guys need a sign. And she knew the approach we wanted to take, but we didn't have that visual. We didn't have the provocative lever to open up the conversation when we were there. And she said, you need a sign. And the sign should say, Camp of the Unknown God. Wow. Does that open conversations? Oodles and oodles of conversations. 2017, 2018, both years we have done this. And my goodness, I have never seen and never have been a part of so many conversations in the course of a week on talking about Christianity, talking about Jesus Christ, talking about what is true spirituality versus false spirituality. And the thing that I walked away from in the 2017 burn was this. We have a culture that has rejected Jesus, and now they don't even know who they've rejected, why they've rejected, or what they've rejected. They've just rejected. They've rejected a caricature of Christianity, and it's a culturally generated caricature. They've rejected a culturally generated caricature of what the Christian life is all about. And you know something? I reject those too, because it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. Let's get back to the source of Christianity, which is God's word, not what the culture says about Christianity. Let's get back to the source. Let's go back to God's word. And the Burning Man experience in both cases demonstrated to me that we have a culture that at this point hasn't really a clue about Christianity. They've rejected it, but they really don't know what they've rejected. That's an open door. That is an open door. If we handle it properly, that's an open door to bring about the true Jesus Christ.
I just love your attitude about that. That's great. That's exactly how I feel about it too. Even though a lot of these people have supposedly made up their minds, they supposedly rejected, there's still room because, like you said, they don't really know what they're rejecting. And I think that's so profound for us because then we can go in and tell them and try to convince them and change their mind. But the only way that we're going to do that is if we know what we're talking about, which goes back to your point earlier, that we need to think higher about this stuff more intelligently. We can't be emotion driven. And that was a point I made. We can't just let these little differences that we find amongst each other define our relationships with one another. That's such a big mistake. That's what the world does. Just look at leftist American politics. That is what the left, that is what the world does. Why should we want anything to do with that? Look what it's doing to them, and not turning it into a political thing, but look what it's doing to them. They're having to eat their own now because they've destroyed themselves so bad, and they're so illegitimized in the eyes of the country that we just see, you just see that time and time again. Well, we'll do one more question, then let's wrap it up. This is a maybe it's not. It's a short one. It's a short one. We'll say that. This one was also directed at me, but I'm actually curious to know what Carl says about this too. So Vicky Taylor is asking, does anyone know what denomination Josh is? And again, I'll try to keep it brief. So I was raised Baptist, and then I had too many questions that weren't being answered. So, and I'm not saying all Baptists are like that, but at least in my church, it was like KJV only, really legalistic, and anything supernatural, they didn't really want to talk about. So then I flung just out of Christianity and into New Age. After that, when I was coming back into Christianity, I was kind of in the charismatic stuff for a little while. I really cycled through a lot of different denominations, just trying to find my place. And for me, I found out, you know what? I think I'm just non-denominational. I don't think that I really fit in. And it's not this typical, like, you know, a millennial thing that you'll hear of, well, I don't believe in labels. I think labels are just fine. You know, I think that's fine. There are wonderful Baptists, wonderful charismatics, wonderful Pentecostals, wonderful Lutherans. I mean, they're wonderful Catholics. I know that's a controversial thing to say, but as long as somebody believes that Jesus Christ is their savior, hey, the rest of it is details. And then we can talk about that and have good conversation. So I don't mind the differences, and I don't even mind the labels, but for me, there's just too much I don't know. I personally can't lock myself into any one denomination. So technically, I mean, I say non-denominational, even though non-denominational has kind of become its own denomination. I just sort of do my own thing, and that's about it. What about you, Carl? What denomination are you?
Well, you know, I'm not really a denomination. I grew up in an evangelical Mennonite church, and that's the church I went to as a baby, literally in my mother's arms, and is a church I still attend. I've been a part of that church now coming on 51 years of my life. By saying evangelical, non-denominational Mennonite, we were part of a larger Mennonite group at one point. Broke away I believe it was in the early 70s, because we saw the handwriting on the wall with the higher organization around us, and said, okay, it's time to step away and pursue biblical truth without necessarily some of these problems and trappings. And then I believe it was in the early 1990s, we took the name Mennonite off our church, because even though we are of that Mennonite background, we're not followers of Menno Simons, flat out. We're not followers of Menno Simons. We're followers of Jesus Christ. And we're actually not even pacifistic as a church. We have some pacifists, but we have a lot of people who aren't, myself as well. And we realize, you know something, we're not truly Mennonites. We're not culturally understood to be Mennonites. We are first and foremost believers in Jesus Christ. And we have that Mennonite ethnic background that forms the heritage that we were born into. And so that's still the church I attend. I've been there for 51 years. That's crazy if I think about it.
That's wow. Awesome. Yeah, I mean, if I were to people are often surprised when they find out I don't go to church, and it's not that it's not that I'm refusing to go. You know, I'm fine with going. It's that I live in a small town and I work in full time ministry, so basically every day has kind of been like fellowship in church and all that. And so my kids get a great dose of that, as do I and my wife. I've often wondered that if I were to go back to church, if I were to start going to a church, which church would I go to? Well, in my small town, there's only one option. There's a Baptist church, but that's probably the one that I would be most comfortable in, just because that's what I grew up in. I can't really see going back to a charismatic church. Not that I have anything against them. A lot of them are wonderful people, but they're, to me, there's too much of a difference. But you know what? What's funny is my wife, she grew up Messianic Jew and then charismatic. So she's on like the other end of the aisle than I have been. And I think God did that by design, because for one thing, he has an awesome sense of humor. The Lord is hilarious. But also, we have learned so much from our different backgrounds. Like when we first started dating, we would get into these really heated debates, and that was back when I didn't really know how to think about these things. That was back when I thought, well, if you're not a pre-trib rapture believer, then you're not really a Christian. I actually did used to think that. I don't think that anymore, but I did used to think that. And so we would have these heated debates about things. And through that, I kind of learned, you know what? Like Christina has always been like a stronger, I don't know if stronger Christian, stronger faith. She's had more of a spiritual backbone than I have, for much of our dating and dating years and then early marriage years. And she's helped me kind of get that spiritual backbone that, you know what, it is okay to talk about this stuff. It is okay to not be emotional and be, you know, an emotional train wreck when somebody believes something you don't believe. What's really important is, why do you believe what you believe? Do you know the answer to that? And for me, I had to face the fact that a lot of what I believed was because I was raised in it and nothing more. That was it. Now, just for people who might wonder where I stand on the rapture, I stand on the rapture the way I stand with denominations. I don't know. I hope that it's pre-trib. I pray that's correct. But I think it's probably best if we just prepare that it's like post-trib. And well, what's the worst that's going to happen? Okay, it's pre-trib. We go up to heaven and God's like, man, you did way too much preparing. I just don't see God saying that. You know what I mean? But if we don't prepare, and then if it is post-trib and we don't prepare, I could see God saying, you probably should have prepared. I've said a lot about that in that Bible that you have in your house. You know, so I kind of look at it. And I've learned to kind of see a lot of stuff like that, especially having to do with end times prophecy, because like you said, Carl, you said so well, we don't know the unknown. We can't really see into the future. We don't own a pair of glasses that shows us exactly what the future is like. So we got to have some humility, and it's, man, prophecy can just be a fun conversation. We don't have to lock into one exact thing. We can consider a lot of different options and see how they line up with scripture and try to construct the best arguments we can for what we might believe, but then just see how things play out.
You know, in terms of prophecy, some of my favorite topics of prophecy teaching is the prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ.
Oh, mine too. And what I love about it is they didn't see it coming. And I think it's going to be the same for us.
It's awesome. I'm going to kind of dovetail off what you just said. Because I've had similar conversations with people. Bottom line, I can't guarantee my breath tomorrow morning.
That's right.
I don't know what's going to happen. My brother was killed when he was 17. I talk about that in the center part of my book and just how devastating that was. But at the same time, how it reinforced the truth that every breath we have is really a gift of God.
Yeah.
And that I should prepare, my heart should be prepared for his coming or my going. Because I guarantee my going is, so far there's 100% success rate in people going.
That's right. Amen.
You know, but if my heart is there for his coming or my going, then what is there to fear?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And along those lines with prophecy, every generation since Paul has thought that they were going to be the last generation, and that also has a 100% failure rate, you know? So why should we be any different, you know? And maybe we are different, you know? But I think that prophecy is left ambiguous for a reason. I think every generation since Christ, I think we need to think that we're the last ones, or at least we need to act as if we are. There's a valuable lesson in that, and it's exactly what you just said. We're not guaranteed another breath on this earth, so we need to always be prepared. And that is the message that's talked about so much in Scripture when it comes to prophecy and things, that Jesus is always about preparedness. Be prepared. You don't know when he's coming back. He didn't tell us exactly when he's coming back, but even more than that, we don't know when we're going to pass on from this earth. No one likes to think about it, but I think we kind of got to just get used to thinking about that, because it's going to happen, and we need to be prepared for that. Carl, this has been such an amazing conversation. I love you to death, brother. One more time, where can people pick up your book, and where can they find you online?
Gameofgods.ca is my website, or actually the book's website, and you can get some snippets and some information on the book there, and then you can order it through Amazon, and you can do that by clicking on gameofgods.ca.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining me. This has been an absolute blast. We're going to have you on back on again sometime.
Josh, this was really enjoyable. Thanks for taking the time to do this with me this evening.